The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Cheer bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol. That 5 seconds is difficult. I try to stay as close to the microphone as I can, but without doing the thing with it. But how was your weekend?
Do you want to tell the audience what you're talking about? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So, Sean, the producer guy, asked us to be a little more silent so he can... So we can clip stuff together when he's doing like the final project. And there's little Marcus always making some type of noise. And he does awesome when he does it. I don't know how he muffles or deletes some of my scruff, but he does a great job. Good job, Sean.
So he's a guy. So he's asked us to, like, between pieces, sections,
yes.
Do a 5 second silence. So that's what Marcus is talking about. Inside podcasting. My weekend was kind of amazing. In the sense that I did nothing.
I love doing nothing. It's my favorite.
I was sick last week. Thursday I had, I guess it's a stomach bug that's going around.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal. It was fast. It was like hard and heavy. Like,
oh no.
Yeah. And I sort of felt like I was recovering all weekend. So, my kids were with their father. So,
so you had a free house minus the dogs.
No, I had the dogs, but I also like was able, like after I felt better and on Friday, I cleaned up. So I had a nice clean house to myself for 3 days, which is just a little slice of heaven. So it was good. And I was able to watch a lot of cheerleading,
yes.
Which was it's all new to me to be a spectator. Like, yeah. I came into this being a mom.
Yes.
And now because of Cheer Mom and the podcast, I'm a spectator as well. So mm-hmm. that you know, we have content to discuss. So it's kind of fun. It's just a whole new, we have so much to discuss.
Yes.
So I was very into the Kentucky competition.
WSF is always a fun competition.
This is the first time I kind of heard of it. You know, mm-hmm. again, I'm not the best representation of a, you know, cheer mom. I'm still surprised I'm here. but it jumped out at me for a couple reasons because of the, you know, people we've had on the podcast were there. And, they had the,
couple of them actually.
Yeah. Quite a few. And they had like the prom.
Yes, they did.
I think they called it Red Ball.
Red Ball. Yes.
Which I only remember seeing something like that for majors last year. And again, I'm a novice. So if I'm wrong.
No, I believe it was majors.
Yeah. They did something like that last year. So I saw it now with the Kentucky. So I was like, oh.
is this a thing starting?
Is this something that the major competitions are going to be doing now?
Lord Jesus, I hope. I mean, it's fun, but that sounds so expensive.
That's what I was like. As a mom, I was thinking, like, you know, because like four of the teams there are my kids' like dream team, mm-hmm. you know?
mm-hmm.
So let's like in. Hypothetical, say she was on one of those teams. I'm thinking to myself, Kentucky, formal attire. Like, I was just, you know, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, like some of the teams that like were there this weekend are probably going to majors and then they're going to have to buy
another dress.
Yeah, you're not going to wear the same dress.
So are they like, I don't. So are these like elite competitions, like separating yes. themselves out this way?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a trend. It seems to be like a trend. And I have two opinions. A, I loved seeing the beautiful pictures and everyone dressed up.
Yes.
And I know cheerleaders give up so much of their social life to be, especially at the level they are. So, you know, if this is their formal, if this is their version of a homecoming, awesome.
I love that idea. And, you know, that's good for them, the competitions, for actually like thinking of the participants in that way.
And I, so that was fun. That was fun to watch. I loved some of the outfits. Did you have any that you?
I actually saw a picture of, Little Miss Cheetah. Ava Atchison.
With the pink and the
My God. Yeah. And the two piece, that was beautiful.
That was adorable.
And I'm pretty sure.
She looked like a Barbie doll.
Oh my God.
Or always. We should say Ava.
The Ava doll.
Ava doll.
I'm pretty sure KP was wearing like a royal blue two piece. Mm-hmm. And
I saw a lot of black.
She looked, and everyone just looked so pretty. I can't stand it. I wish they were doing stuff like that when I was cheering, but I was also broke, so I would not look anything like that.
You would just need like one suit you could probably wear all year long.
I guess you're right.
You're not suffering through that. You can't repeat. Like, Ava cannot wear that dress at Major. No. Sorry, girl.
Don't do it. Or she can come out like Tiffany Haddish and wear that white. Do you remember that? She wore that white piece almost everywhere. And she was like, I paid a lot of money for this. People are going to see it. Yeah, I love Tiffany Haddish.
I love her too.
Her skit on Saturday Night Live really did that to me. If you see. Show notes. Here we go.
Well, that's interesting. I'm wondering if other competitions are going to do it. I'm wondering if the elite group of teams that compete at these competitions, are they just separating themselves out just a little bit more with these events? I think there was like a huge cash prize, but I could be wrong.
Really?
For this, I felt like, okay.
For like best dress?
No, not for the dress, for the actual competition. Let's move away from the
From the ball.
From the ball. We're done with our what's that segment that Joan Rivers had? Joan Rivers used to have that, you know, like the red carpet look. That's us right now.
I would love to do that.
maybe we'll post some of the pictures of these dresses on the show notes.
Yes.
But they had a competition the next day. What's the name?
World Spirit Federation, WSF Louisville.
Okay. And I believe there was a huge cash award at the end. I could be wrong, but I thought it was like a $25,000.
Like a bid? Is it a bid? A bid to go to Worlds.
Can someone clarify? Because I'm only basing it on what I saw on social media, so I don't know. I wasn't there, and I'm not in a gym that competes there, so I don't know. But I did get to see some of the groups compete, and that was.
You know who I'm obsessed with, and. They gave a beautiful performance, my ladies in teal, senior elite. They gave a beautiful performance on day one, but, I feel like because of an injury, they didn't compete
on
day two.
C4, I think, believe had the highest.
Yes, Darnell's team, Darnell Harris, season one.
Yeah.
Yes, grand champions. They got like a 98.6 something, something, something out of 100. That is literally dreams and goals.
Last year when we had Ryan on the podcast, I didn't really understand how
much. Did you spot Ryan in that routine?
Oh my God. Her lines are completely gorgeous and perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I didn't like, I understood that she was popular. I understood she was talented. But this year, I really, truly, truly saw like, She's just like I don't even know it. I mean, she's perfectly proportioned for what she was doing. Is the best way I can describe it.
No, I saw
her and Kenley. Kenley.
I saw that routine for the first time last week after they performed at X Evolution in Raleigh. And I texted Darnell immediately. Well, not immediately. After watching for about like the seventh time in a row, I texted Darnell and I was like, I'm literally obsessed with this routine.
It's fantastic.
And Ryan Cummings does some crazy stuff in there. And I meant to post, Darnell sent me a video of their routine, of their stunt sequence. They were just like practicing at the gym. And I meant to post that because that's when I got hooked.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again. And so I still have it. So I'm probably still going to post it.
So C4.
Yes.
Right. What level is that?
That's level 4.
That's level 4. And Senior Elite is level 5.
Yes, ma'am.
And Senior Elite did not compete day 2.
No, they didn't.
Okay. And Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Large
Co-ed.
We have to take some time to discuss Top Gun. Large Co-ed.
Have you? Hold on. Their uniforms. Let's start with their uniforms.
Okay.
Because their routine.
Let's start
with the uniforms.
Start with the uniforms. So the first thing I saw was the uniforms. And I texted you immediately. I'm like, did you see this? And I'm just going to give you my first impressions. Mm-hmm. And then you give me your first impressions. Mm-hmm. My first impression was bold.
Yes. Always. Always.
Second impression was, and I don't say this in a negative way, I'm just being truthfully just honest.
Mm-hmm.
Karate Kid.
Absolutely.
This was the second thought.
Yes.
The blonde haired guy, the team that wasn't good in the movie. But then the third thing I thought was they have to bring it. Like
they have to.
You have a uniform like that, that bold. There's no question.
And they do.
Then the next. So I saw the uniforms the day before. I didn't get to see them compete till mm-hmm. the next day. And I was like, literally, I was like a ball of tension. Because I just wanted them to just be spectacular to justify the uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
You can't wear a uniform like that unless you can't. I said this to Mikey once at a competition. There was a group of girls who had like this bold green lime uniform. And I remember saying, you can't have a uniform like that unless you are good enough to wear a uniform like that. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to catch someone's eye, you better do it in a good way.
So let's talk about this because there is a lot of social media, you know, yammering about these uniforms. There are some good and there are some not so nice
really?
People. Yeah, some people put these memes up of like Kung Fu Panda next to them. It was awful.
I would love to see Kung Fu Panda in that 2 minute and 30 second
some
routine.
People were not very nice about the uniforms. I think prior to the competition, I didn't really see any mm-hmm. scuttlebutt afterwards. Which I was just kind of like, I guess I can see it. Like, I like the uniforms. I thought the headband with the logo mm-hmm. was too much. Like, if the headband had just been black.
Oh, really? No. See, Top Gun is always about, like, catching someone's eye and really...
In your face.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I've been obsessed with them since I started cheering in, like, 2002. I really got, like... a hook and a hold on it in like 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm still trying.
And like since then, I have made it like a thing to like, I don't know, to learn their routines.
Yeah.
And
well, then the routine, then the routine, then I see
jam-packed
it.
Jam-packed with everything.
The level of tension you feel as a spectator watching that is like, okay, in yoga terms, there's this thing called Mula Bandha.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is like you're driving and someone cuts you off and you have to hit your brake. You know that moment you go,
yes.
And your whole body like tightens up,
yes.
Your sphincter and everything.
And all the saliva comes out of it, it dries out of your mouth.
It's called Mula Bandha. And that's what I was feeling during that whole routine. It was, they were just, it was from the moment it starts to the moment it ends, just jam-packed, like in... beautiful, just artist, every time. Artist in air. I don't know. So I thought, you know, and I think they won.
They're brilliant. They're, I always love their theme. Sorry. I always love their themes. Their routines are, Victor and Kristen are magic.
Now, is this the Florida team?
Yes, for okay. Miami. Something is in the water in Miami.
305.
I would love to buy a pack for myself.
Well, when I was watching the day before they competed, when I saw the reveal of the uniforms and kind of the feedback, you know, on social media, I was really proud of the cheerleaders because I think it was very bold of them. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think they probably knew they were going to get some heat over the boldness of their, you know,
but really?
I'm making that up. I'm totally projecting it, but I'm saying like the first few pictures, it just seemed like there's a little fear.
Not if I was out there with TGLC on my forehead or on my back, on my waist, on my arm, I will go out there like probably I would go out there probably doing a cartwheel, but pretending like I just landed like some insane pass, and I would hip shimmy and move.
Well, they hit tightest. It. They won, I believe. Right? They won. That's where I got the 25,000. I thought was from one of the posts saying, you know, like we hit gold or, you know, and said 25K. So I was like, oh, well, dang.
Yes, this uniform. I
think your uniforms worked.
They're amazing.
Well, yeah. So congratulations to all the teams.
Yes.
That was, it was fun to be a spectator and to watch that. And I do like the uniforms. I'm just saying, you know. If I was a costume designer, which I know it's not a costume, I would have maybe done something different with the headband. That's
They're
all.
Out for war.
They are. They're
ready
you
to
know
fight
what?
For their
and those
spot.
Girls, I mean, the men were fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, co-ed is a different animal.
Absolutely.
Than, it's just, but the women are fierce on that team.
Oh my
like they
gosh.
Look like if I ran behind an alleyway, I would want them with me to protect
No, absolutely. And you know, I've noticed this within the years of like watching that team. I feel like in years past, it was more of like a guy's show, and then the girls were there for like the pretty pictures, but it was always like a guy show. A lot of girls have really like stepped up their game to be a part of that legacy that they're bringing up.
Yeah.
And they're really like, they've always, that gym has always been like a bunch of performers, but lately the girls have really, really, really stepped it up.
Yeah.
In that gym and in the industry altogether, really. I've seen a lot of girls like step it up and
we gotta get someone from that gym on our podcast.
I am about it and I am on it.
Yeah. Come on, I'm from the 305. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, last thing y'all want is a fight with the 305.
All right. Well, congratulations to everyone. It was Yay. Wonderful. I hope everyone had a lovely competition weekend if you competed.
And safe travel back.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you to Sharita for coming on. It was fantastic. We got so much positive feedback from it. So we're grateful for that. And I think we're ready to go to our dear Marcus and Marisol.
Yes.
So you wanted to mention one.
Yes. okay, so the first one, I'll pull it up. The first one wasn't really like a question asking for advice like our normal dear Marcus and Marisol's. This one was more this one was more to a previous episode, which as soon as I read this, I'm pretty sure I dropped my phone and I started laughing so hard. Subject is, love you guys. Message, pour some sugar on me. Dying.
Oh, that's because of my ringtone.
Yes. And that was perfect. I laughed so hard and thank you. I wish we knew who sent this because this person deserves a shirt.
Really?
But I was dying when I got this. So whoever did, thank you, because I think I got a 6-pack from laughing so hard.
Well, that was because one of our podcasts, my ringer, played and it was Pour Some Sugar on Me. And I said something like, oh, a guy texted me and they caught that. You guys are on the ball.
Always.
All right. So I actually have one to discuss, and then we're going to revisit the one from episode 19, which is the glam. To glam or not to glam?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with the new submission, which is really short. And we've sort of touched on it, but we're going to talk about it a little more. This one is subject, I lost my tuck, message. I am so scared for this competition. I lost it. It's gone. My team is going to hate me. And that's the whole message. So I'm guessing this is a junior three, or?
It could be.
Right? That's where tucks come in.
Or senior or youth. But okay. She sounds stressed.
She sounds stressed. And it came in December 7th.
That was Friday.
Okay. So it was right on competition weekend. it's Monday. So, yes.
So the competition happened.
The competition's over. You're not dead.
Okay. Boom.
Boom. So all things shall pass.
Yes.
Is a true statement. So all that fear and anxiety and stress that you were having on Friday, I hope at least now that it's Monday, you're past that.
Yes.
So what thoughts do you have on this? Tuck is kind of I feel that it's kind of a common thing.
Yeah, it's really the first skill without any hands. So it is a very, I don't want to like put this out in the atmosphere, but it is like the first of a couple like stressful skills, just because it is the first one with no hands. And so that whole like anxiety part of like flipping over, trying to land on your feet and not on your head is, it is very stressful. But immediately when I thought of this, I thought of like a growth spurt. I remember when I went through a growth spurt, like the stuff that I was like throwing and landing on Tuesday, when I would come back and throw them on Thursday, it hurt because all the growing
pains.
Because
you've changed, your body shifted, yeah, the dynamics. I never thought of that.
And it just felt weird. Yeah. And so what I would like to say is just listen to your coaches. Do exactly as they say.
That was my first advice, is tell your coach exactly what you told us. Like, pull them aside, you know, cry your tears if you have to cry your tears, but talk to your coach, because your coach is watching you.
And literally watching you grow.
Yeah.
And
they'll know better what to say than what you and we can just speak in generalities, but not specific to tucks, but just in body dynamics. Your head plays a big portion.
Yes.
In it. What you're thinking. What I know in other areas, like I'll lose an asana is called a pose, like a yoga pose, like you know, I study kind of advanced, what's considered power advanced yoga, and I will lose an asana pose that I've had for years. And I would always get really like, sorry, I was about to curse. what's going on? And I've learned that sometimes it has nothing to do with my body. It's what's going on in my head or in my life at that moment, that for whatever reason, until I can ground myself, center myself, and clear out whatever mental baggage I have going on, I don't get it back. But that's, again, yoga, not cheerleading. But I think it's probably, I've heard about it in other sports. You know, you get a mental block. Basketball players hitting the basket. People just get in their head. And that subconscious, that whatever you're repeating in your head over it, you know, if she's in this headspace where she doesn't have a tuck, like she's so freaked out about not having the tuck, she could stay in that headspace And that's not, it's not fun.
No.
So hopefully, I mean, my advice is kind of woo-woo-ish, which would be, and I'm not a coach and I'm not a cheerleader. And I've never done a tuck, but would be to ground yourself. And what grounding is really just kind of getting in your body, like shutting down, the noise, the voice in your head that's telling you, you know, oh my God, I don't have the tuck.
Yeah.
And just, you know, centering yourself, your mind, body, soul, however you want to say it. And the other advice would be to talk to your coach. Your mm-hmm. specific coach is going to be able to help you much more than, anyone else, I think, in this situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Number one, just listen to your coach, because they are literally watching you grow. So they know exactly like where you need to be, like how they know all the technical stuff about it. So,
and the other part, she said her team's, you know, is going to hate her. I hope not.
I've never been a part of a team, nor have I like coached a team mm-hmm. where athletes like really get down on another athlete for quote unquote losing a skill. Yeah. Stuff happens.
Yeah. So I hope that didn't happen. And I assumed you were junior three, 'cause I was thinking that age, that mm-hmm. because of that comment. If you do have anyone say anything to you, again, go talk about it with your coach.
Yeah.
And hopefully your team will support you. That's what the whole team aspect
is. That's what a team is.
Yeah. They will support you in the ups and the downs, not, you know, kick you while you're down. Anything more on this
one? No, I think that was good.
That was good. High five. Okay. So now we're going to go back to our question from last week,
which yes.
I think we're going to be on this one for a while.
Okay.
So last week we had a wonderful question. I think it was Cheer STD. and then the question was about, do we think that the makeup and the hair, the glam, I'm calling it glam from now on, hurts the sport for people outside of the sport who are just learning about it, or if we're trying to expand it to a greater audience, does the glam hurt? So,
which I love that we're coming back to this, because I liked my answer last week, but I think I have a better one now.
Go.
No, I do not think that the glam, the hair and the makeup and the uniforms, make us like less of an athlete. However, I do believe when this sport does become like mainstream, we will have to dumb it down for some people.
You mean the glam or just the...
The glam.
Okay.
Because that's what they're going to think. That's always what they're going to think. That, I don't know, big hair, heavy makeup is... I don't know, is dumbing the sport down,
mm-hmm.
which I think in the beginning we will have to take it away and like dumb it down for them, but eventually it will blow back up into what it is right now, and probably even more. We'll probably have
like
jetpacks and stuff. That'd be fun.
You ever seen Pink at a concert with the aerial?
Yes. You know, and they're going to be, the center flyer is just going to come down from the top and then land in her base's hands and then do something crazy.
I'm pretty much in the same place I was last week, which mm-hmm. is I really don't land strongly on either. Like, I could see it going both ways. I had a couple questions, like, I know in like pageantry they have like a natural category, like a mm-hmm. natural, I don't know if it's a category, but it's you can go full glam in a competition, and there's other competitions that are natural.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. And I was just wondering if the way we categorize the sport could be different, and I don't know. I'm totally pulling this out of my chimichanga. But within, under All-Stars or outside of All-Stars, does it have to all be this one way? Like, can't there be... I know there's multiple divisions based on age and, mm-hmm. and skill. I'm not talking that division breakup, but can there be multiple different... You know, there's like in baseball, they have, you know, Little League, they have bat, wood bat baseball. They,
really?
Yeah. They have, you know, summer leagues. They have, there's various ways that baseball is played. So that's what I'm asking. Is there something like in the future... Is it always going to, is it going to be going from All-Stars to Olympics, or is there an opportunity? You
think like a junior Olympics?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I like that.
Or is there just, it, can it break off into another, I don't know if I want to use the word division because I don't want to confuse it, but.
Well.
Is it All-Stars? Is that it?
Never.
Or can it be, can there be another association of cheerleading that is just like, you know, tumbling stunt.
I would love to bring these back, which I know some competitions still do them, but individuals, you can do like a stunt group individual, or you can do like a tumbling individual. And I even think like later on, like as they like started to like die out, they started introducing like duos and trios. So like two-man teams, and not even like teams, just a trio, well, or a duet.
Since you and I didn't, you know, we knew that this would be a complicated topic to dissect. We kind of threw it out to the populations.
Yeah.
Unscientifically, these are not scientific polls. Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to post it in the Crazy Cheer Mom Facebook group. So I was able to get feedback, and I would say it's fair to say like 80-20, 80% of both cheerleaders and moms want the glam, mm-hmm. and then about 20 don't. And it was interesting about the 20 that don't, because the 20 that don't are the silent minority, but they feel very strongly when they, and they're very respectful. I will say, sometimes I kind of felt like people might get a little aggressive with this topic. I don't know if that's a proper way of saying it, but feel really passionately, or, you know, the way they wrote, I kind of felt reading it like, oh, I wasn't trying to offend you, just mm-hmm. asking a question. So, you know, just to repeat that, I'm not trying to offend anyone with this question. It's just a question. But we got some really interesting feedback.
Which is wild that some people are so like vocal about it, because they're not getting scored on like, well, presentation, like how they look.
Here's some of the comments I got. That's what acro and stunt are for. They are competitive and do what cheer does without the fluff.
I like fluff.
Fluff is in quotes. Another one says, it's a performance sport under stage lights. Some teams take it over the top, as do some parents, but a team with stellar skills without any makeup or big hair has the same chance as every other team at winning.
Absolutely.
Love that. It's a performance, all caps. It's a combo of dance, tumbling, and acro. If you accentuate attire, routines, and facials outside of the sport, they said dot, dot, dot. Outside of the sport, my kid is not allowed to wear makeup, but on stage, she is 100% in glam. Excuse me. We got another one in the middle. I'm in the middle on this topic. Our gym is relatively conservative compared to some, but we do have semi-tees, loosely curled hair, and the red lipstick. Our director and coaches are very flexible as far as picking styles that are easy on the kids. Another parent wrote, I agree. I think makeup is essential for athletes' faces to be seen from far away for the judges, but the hair is crazy. I don't know why it needs to be so big. A nice sleek pony and some bling so the judges can see it is fine. And it goes on.
I agree with all of those.
Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to envision it in the Olympics, the way it is now. And then I did a little internet searching of what the teams across the pond do.
Yeah, only like American teams really like go all out with even like going as far as like blinged out uniforms. We're the only country that really does like lips and hair, face, and all that.
That's what I noticed. Like I looked at the Philippines, and I mean, they've had some, you know, they have that.
And they are good.
And it.
Those foreign teams are good.
And I will say, do not kill me for saying this, but if you look at them, it looks like a sport. Mm-hmm. If you look at, and then you compare it to, you know,
us,
it is, it seems more like a sport folded in within a performance.
Performance.
Yes. That seems, and I'm saying from an outside looking in, that seemed like the distinction to me.
I'm going to write that down.
I don't think anything's going to change anytime soon, so we don't have to freak out about it, but I do think it warrants a discussion for the
performance.
Future. Yeah. So if anyone has any more ideas about that or a strong opinion either way, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Go to our website, let us know. And one more note on the Dear Marcus and Marisol. We have CheerFit coming on in January to do the podcast with us, and they're going to do the Dear Marcus and Marisol with us, and she's going to answer specific questions about workouts and, you know, techniques to improve.
Yes.
So specific questions like that, start sending our way for that.
Yes,
special.
Write them in.
That's special.
We love CheerFit.
And I'm super, 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 super excited to welcome Lisa Welsh from Cheer Med. Welcome, Lisa.
Woo. Thank you, Marisol. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this in the time allotted, because when you and I spoke offline, we couldn't get off the phone.
No, it was the creative juices were definitely flowing. There was so much to talk about.
So let's tell our audience about CheerMed, because, you know, one of the things, the wonderful things about CheerBomb or our goals was that this would be something that parents could listen to with their kids as they go to competition. So we have a lot of parents that listen in, and your story is perfect. So tell us about CheerMed. Tell us about CheerMed.
CheerMed. Okay. Well, I was am a cheer mom. Two daughters. At the time, you know, my oldest daughter had been an all-star for about 5 years. And, you know, I found myself eavesdropping on the carpool, you know, the kids that you're driving back and forth to try to, you know, practices and comps. And that's how I got my news about what was going on in the industry. And I'm also in my real life, I was also a reporter. And so I'm always curious, always looking for information.
And that was so, that was like, what, 2011 or even further back?
Yeah. This was going on. I mean, my daughter had been cheering for a while. In 2011, things just kind of evolved, and I realized that, you know, there really wasn't anything out there for cheer parents. So there were some forums, some closed groups, there was Fearsport, but, you know, those things were, I didn't think, very productive. You know, people would get on there and, you know, and yes, great, share your opinion, but nothing really, you know, as a reporter, I just felt like I could offer something that was a little, you know, more, you know, meaty. And so I just started blogging. You know, they say in the writing world, write what you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had been a cheer mom on weekends, and, you know, then during the weekday, a reporter. So I started, first started about writing my experience as a cheer mom to my two daughters. And then kind of grew out of that, talking to other cheer parents, interviewing, you know, parents, you know, and everybody just has a great story. And I realized, you know, more and more that there was really nothing out there specifically for the cheer parents. There were magazines. There were, like I said, different online media.
I mean, yep. I can interject. When my daughter started, I mean, Marcus knows the story. I was desperate to find something in this new world.
I still have the book.
And I ordered a book. I was like, oh, I'm going to go order a book. And I ordered the book, and it was not, it was like a, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like pom-poms and megaphones.
Basically,
and
right.
Sidelines.
Not the world that I was living in. There was no resource out there. So
right, exactly. Because a lot of them come either from or are geared towards the athlete's perspective, the coach's perspective, the gym owner perspective, or even the event producer perspective. There really wasn't anything for the cheer parent. And, you know, when I actually, that's how this started. The Cheer MAD became an acronym. MAD stands for Moms and Dads. So I, you know, really have had fun with that, Cheer MAD, Cheer Moms and Dads, but we're all certifiably Cheer MAD, kind of like, you know, certifiably insane. You know, that kind of applies to us as well.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, there's not anything really. Well, I'm happy that I've been able to fill that niche where there's some place that parents can go and they get it. And by the way, we are the real customer for this $4 billion industry. You know, we're the ones paying for it. So
right.
I think it deserves a lot of respect, a lot more respect than parents were getting.
Well, that's kind of, you know, one of the conversations that you and I had offline was, and I've had this several times with many of the moms who have started a business
sure.
within the industry of, you know, we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a sort of on our shoulders, but I don't know how much of a voice we have in the industry. Because,
right.
you know, you, as a mom, as a cheerleading mom, you'll have a lot of fear because your child loves this so much. That you
yes.
don't want to do anything to affect their cheerleading career, but you
correct.
Really have no power. And you know,
so true. Yeah, it's so true. The best cheer parent, you know, in some views, are the ones that keep quiet. You know, they're the ones that pay the bills and get their kids to practice on time, travel, just pay, watch, and you know, cheer on the kids. And yes, that's a part of it. However, we all know that there are some issues in the industry, and the parents don't have a voice. So
to interrupt, the other voice is the, you know, and we probably, Cheer Bomb is probably
yes.
Guilty of this too, but we highlight the crazy cheer mom, you know?
Yes, so true.
So it's like a caricature, really. The, you know, you're either just kind of a quiet mouse who
right.
tries not to stir up anything, or you're the caricature of the crazy mom who causes a lot of drama. And
it's
the
so
crazy
funny
moms
said
can
that.
Be fun a little bit sometimes, though.
It's fun to talk about them.
Well, but the thing is, and really you reminded me of one of my core you know, reasons for starting Cheer MAD was you only heard about the crazy cheer moms, and the 99% of cheer parents are not that. You know, we are, and that's, you know, the normal stuff and the serious stuff. And we do this because we love our kids and the kids love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to support our kids. So there's, but then you don't want to rock the boat because it gets back on the kids.
Exactly.
You found. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been told I was groomed and, you know, from my oldest, who's now 26 years old. You know, she was 8 when she started, and very early on it was like, mom, don't say anything, mom, it's okay, don't say anything, I'll deal with it. And that's scary, you know, that's kind of, you know, there's been trouble because of that kind of culture of, I don't want to say secrecy, but just kind of don't make waves. And
It's like a power imbalance. Coming from the outside, walking in, you know, having 3 children in multiple different sports, there's
mm-hmm.
a difference. You know, my son did Little League, my kids did soccer. and travel. And there's a difference. It's a power dynamic that's not the same. Maybe it might be because cheer is not, you know, has not hit. Am I using the word correctly if I say it hasn't hit the zygote yet? I'm not sure.
Well, I think you're right. And I was thinking that as well. What really, if you understand the evolution of All Stars, and you know, it's only 20 years old. I think Worlds, you know, maybe 25 years ago was the first Worlds. I think we're coming up on 25. Now, for instance, at the very first Worlds, the team that won the large senior co-ed at Worlds was a team called Miami Elite. Now, Miami Elite was, you know, it had some amazing athletes, two of which are Victor and Kristen Rosario, who now own Top Gun. So they were athletes. And most of the gym owners and definitely, you know, the coaches started out as athletes. They got hired by National Cheerleading Association to be camp counselors of the high school camps. You know, I was a high school cheerleader, nothing at all about like what my daughters do now. But I can remember going to those NCAA camps and, you know, you had these beautiful, strong, talented, you know, all American kids that were leading these camps. And then those are the people who evolved into, they actually broke away and, you know, there's a big backstory to that, but established what became Varsity, which were camps and uniforms and clinics. And so those, as the industry grew, as the popularity grew, you had back again to athletes. You know, yes, they were college educated, but they weren't business people. They weren't. So anyways, it just kind of organically grew. And there was no place in there for the parents. I mean, these were just kind of kids in the 20s. And now they're in the 40s. And now the industry is experiencing several different growing pains.
I mean, in the last month. I mean, and first of all, I should say, I mean, Cheerbomb, we don't really, we don't share information about the industry. We basically just do the podcast. Right. But I always share CheerMat on our Facebook page because it's such a wonderful source of information for parents.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
And you have been posting. Yeah. There's so much in just the last month. Major gyms in various parts of the country get together and post things about, you know, the change in the industry. Then we also had, who was the other? It wasn't a parent. It was
The Independent Event Producers, which is an organization of independent event producers. But it's, you know, they responded. There was another Champions League.
Champions League did.
Yeah. And actually this week, everybody's been saying, well, where's Varsity? Where's Varsity's letter? And I posted that yesterday. There was a letter that came out this week, and it was Varsity's response to the Cheer Alliance, which is the letter you're referring to that came out several weeks ago. The Cheer Alliance is a group of well-known gyms, but they're, you know, the bigger gyms and the more well-known ones and the ones that do, you know, better at these comps, they're the ones we're talking about. The gym owners grew up as, you know, in the industry. But it was disappointing. Varsity's response was very disappointing, in my opinion. You know, they agree. Here's a great one. You know, they did agree that and did say that check-ins would not be earlier than 8 and competitions would not go later than, I don't remember if it was 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. But
it was 10.
10. Okay. Thank you, Marcus. And then just a couple of days ago, yesterday or Friday, the NCAA block came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally, you know, contradicting what the letter said would happen.
Yeah.
You've got already the biggest comp, you know, in national seasons, and they're not going to start, they're not sticking to what they agreed to already.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something, the frustration I think that parents might feel, and I'm speaking for myself and I'm speaking having had conversations with other parents, not just locally, but it from different parts of the country, is the feeling, you know, a lot of us are smart, educated business owners who don't understand the flow of this industry. It's in its defense, I will say it's probably because it's young, it's 20, and it's growing and evolving at a very fast rate. But everyone, I mean, I remember having this conversation with a father once. We were all like, it's not sustainable. This is not sustainable when it hits, you know, when if and when it becomes an Olympic sport.
Right.
Susie Q in the middle of somewhere who's never known about All-Star Cheer learns about All-Star Cheer and it blows up again. Mm-hmm. This is not sustainable because the money it does not make sense how it flows. So that's
true. It's true. And that's, you've got this kind of dichotomy going where because it's for profit, in fact, at the, when I was, you know, reporter and I wanted, you know, I would have these arguments with the sports editor about these kids locally that made it to Worlds and won, you know, and how hard and what an accomplishment it was. And they, their response to me was, well, they're paying. So, you know, this was maybe 15 years ago, but they're paying to be on that team. Therefore, it wasn't, they didn't cover it for that reason. Now you've got the argument that, you know, even schools, you have to pay to join. But my point is, everybody makes a team. You're paying to be on that team. So it's very different than what
a typical
correct.
And I'm not necessarily thinking that there's something nefarious going around, or because I've met a couple gym owners and we've spoken, and I don't think a majority of gym owners are out there, you know, on private jets.
It's not the gym owners.
It's not the gym owners.
So, those aren't the people. And I don't want to come across as bashing the industry. I mean,
No. I think we're all trying. I mean, because I think you're answering a question that the parents listening to this podcast have asked themselves. You know, when
you were thinking it, but you said it. One of those moments.
But it
I back it up. I mean, that I'm an old fashioned, you know, journalist, three sources before I write anything. So I can back it up and I, you know, I know it, I own it, I put it out there and I stand by anything I write and say. So,
and again, I don't think it's fair to ask, parents to not have these questions. You know, we live in a free democracy. We can just ask, hey, I noticed my hotel price was, I checked the prices for the week before when there was a convention for insurance agents. It was tons cheaper than what I'm asked to pay for a cheerleading competition, plus pay for the to go in. And just watching, you know, you could say, oh, I saw that piece of, you know, background at this other competition. So I can kind of articulate in my head, okay, in a spreadsheet, this is how much you,
it's not even that. It's worse than that. And I mean, check out how much it costs the same hotel blocks for NCAA high school competitions. And then several weeks later, NCAA All-Stars.
Exactly. I have. So you can count me as a fourth source. I was curious because I don't mind paying for something that my child absolutely loves.
Right.
That's where why we do it. That's why I started this podcast. I have no problem with that. But I do have questions that I would just, you know, as an intelligent woman, would like someone to answer.
Well, it's what I don't want to see and what has happened. I mean, you get back to that point of everybody makes a team, everybody pays. My daughter, you know, when she first started, we were paying tuition, you know, we were paying the basics. And I honestly couldn't pay for privates or classes. And so she didn't progress. They really didn't. They don't have time in the practices, you know, once the season starts. So I noticed the kids that were improving were the ones that could afford to pay, you know, for those lessons. And somehow, you know, you kick up your fundraising or you do it. I got her in there, and then she progressed, and then she would make, you know, progress to another level. But what I've talked to parents, and they're saying, it's really becoming a rich person's sport. You know, there are kids that are left behind because they can't afford to take those classes. That, yes, a lot of gyms have open gym, but there's, you still have to pay for the time. You know, it's a lot less, $8 maybe, you know, to go to open gym instead of, you know, whatever your mm-hmm. your coaches charge you. But yeah, that bothered me for a long time. People are getting, I just don't want to see kids left out. And that was the initial, like I said, that was the initial, what was nice about it. You had a kid that loved it and wanted to do it. And, I mean, my oldest daughter never made it beyond senior two, but that kid loved cheer. She was a super senior and she was level two.
And that I love level two.
She loved it. And, you know, her coach said, I'd rather have a team of Becky's than, you know, level five tumblers, just because of her commitment and, you know, and all that. But I just hate seeing kids that get discouraged. And, you know,
I got to tell you,
hate so much.
We did a little podcast. I think it's been 3 weeks now. And we took questions and we had this whole discussion about money, people calling mm-hmm. in about money. And mm-hmm. I was, you know, kind of sarcastically like, you don't go to a cheer bum, you know, podcast for financial advice. but.
Or cheer mad.
But since that podcast, I've gotten contacted by parents thanking me or telling me their story. And even on a wide spectrum, even people who feel guilty because they have the money, they have the resources to, get the privates, do this for their kid, but also understand the struggle of other families on that same yes. team who can't. So it's not, it's not a either or. You kind of see it across the whole spectrum of people.
Sure.
And, you know, we joked, I don't want to make light of it, but we said something because I think we had someone write in about going into debt for the sport. Well, since we posted that, we've had more people come up to say that. And that almost breaks my heart. Cause
it's crazy. I mean, I went through a period, you know, my daughter, my oldest one, All-Star was just for personal reasons. And this is what it is to a lot of kids. It's home to a lot of kids or their safe place. You have kids, you know, Becky was going through a very dark period in her life. It lasted for 4 years. And the only time I saw her smile was when she was on the mat. And that's why I kept her in there. And that's why I did. I mean, to be honest with you, I was one of those parents that went into debt. We paid, or I made sure tuition and her bill was paid before the mortgage was, to be totally honest with you. It was...
you're not alone. I mean, I was kind of a little taken aback by the, you know, people contacting me to tell me their stories. And I, you know, I'm not a therapist, so I have no, you know, and I can't really offer financial advice. But what it tapped into for me was, oh, this is a much bigger problem. Like, I kind of joked because last season we did this crazy cheer mom thing and she had gone into debt, but it ended up going crazy. Her husband didn't know about it and he brought a gun. That's a whole different story. But
right.
But how many people are going into debt for this? Just it was 3 weeks and just anecdotally just hear how many people, you know, and again, affecting across social economic. We had one parent who lives away from their child to work, part of the reason to be able to afford cheerleading. So I do hope that the bigger, you know, powers at B can kind of start to hear us, you know, because our children love this. They love the sport.
They do. And again, Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say, I come from a personal belief system that there's enough for everyone. There are enough resources for everyone.
I would love to see more scholarships and more of that, because to be honest with you, All-Stars for some kids is the only thing they have. I mean, and the only place they feel accepted, the only place they feel like they belong. You know, I knew of and it takes up so much time and it's so physically exhausting that you can, you know, not ignore your problems, but you are, you know, it's an escape. You know, there was a family I was, you know, close to, and, you know, three daughters were all in All-Stars, and the mom was a widow. Her husband was a firefighter who died on the job. And that was her. I mean, talk about a crisis, talk about, you know, tragedy. But she did all she could to keep these kids in All-Stars because that was where they were happy, where they found joy, where they had that escape from, you know, their tragedies. And a lot of young boys, you know, I've talked to, I've participated in forums where they feel that they're more accepted in the All-Star gym than they are in their own high school or even their own family, you know, so there's that. But the hard part is, it's almost like, you know, that it's the money component. It's a business. That's the bottom line. You know, it's a business.
And I don't want us to come across as like haters or that we're, we're not.
But it's real.
It's a real thing. It's a real issue. And, you know, based on the feedback we've been receiving, it's something that I hope as the industry, I feel, I'm not an expert in anything.
right.
But I do feel like there's a shift going on in the industry just from an outside perspective looking in. And I feel as it, you know, with technology and YouTube and documentaries and everything, it's going to cross over in the next few years. And when that explosion happens, you know, I know a lot of personal small business owners that's what they're hoping for. For themselves to be able to pay back.
Sure.
It's not like I'm hating on people, and it's not a personal, a story for me, but I feel the pain of a lot of these families who.
I do too. I think you and I are both in the position where people reach out and they share their stories and they.
Yeah,
and you know, it's that
I can't afford to like write checks for scholarships.
I know.
We did the books for Cheer Bomb because we're just. It's going to be our birthday, Marcus. I don't know if you realize our birthday's coming up.
Oh,
our first year.
Nice.
Birthday's coming up, and I was doing our books, and you know, we've given money. That's we have done multiple scholarships, multiple. Donations. Mm-hmm. And I think part of our goal is to grow even bigger so that we can give even more.
I hope so. That's wonderful. And happy birthday. That's great.
Thank you.
Exciting. And I love that, you know, I love that more parents are getting involved in bringing their talents and their niche and skills into, you know, into the picture because, they do have a lot to offer, and they do. I mean, it's their life too. You can't have a child in All-Star with at least one parent fully committed, you know, committed one way or another.
Yes, I guess. Absolutely.
because I don't know if that's, you know, that's the way it just needs to be. But I think the more, you share your voice and allowing parents to have a voice is so important. So it's so great that you are doing that.
No, and thank you for also being like an outlet for parents to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It became very. I mean, to be honest with you, I was motivated by several different things. And one of them really was I wanted to give back because I did appreciate what All-Stars meant to. My daughters and how it got through certain, you know, things. It definitely was, you know, or is a big part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to give back, but I didn't know going in. I was kind of, you know, you learn a lot when, you know, people started coming to me with more and more in you know, information about both sides. I mean, I didn't really understand the industry from a business standpoint. You know, I was just a parent.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing my thing. But I think it's good. Knowledge is important. Information is important. You know, that's why a lot of people are asking, you know, that there's more transparency in, you know, just tell us where, yeah, where things are.
I mean, you can even look at last year's D1 summit. Was it D1 yes. summit when everything kind of hit the fan with the new, what is it called? The new varsity.
The arena?
The arena,
it was
yeah.
the arena.
And it was by the time D2 came, which I was there, was mm-hmm. handled much better and differently. But seeing how the parents kind of rose up on social media the weekend yes. of D1, I was like,
it was huge. We had an outburst. The pictures we posted and I mean, I was one of the people in that almost a riot to, you know, once the fire marshal closed down the arena and they moved everybody outside. And now you had a delay of rain and then you had new teams, you know, teams assigned a time. And now it's, you know, it doubled capacity because you had teams that hadn't left. It was unfortunate. And but yeah, that post, I was looking at that. I think we had almost like 700,000 people talking and commenting and, you know, over that weekend. That was definitely our most, you know, our highest volume of readership was definitely the D1 summit.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of see a little bit of a shift. Like even with our numbers, when we started, my thought was, you know, my target market was the cheerleaders, really. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, surprising to us, it's parents as much as cheerleaders and coaches that listen to us. And,
sure.
you know, seeing how D1, you know, on social media, how that kind of blew up.
Right.
I was like, this is a shift. This is, you know, industries, you know, you study this in college, business 101, yeah. there are shifts yes. going on. And
yes.
it's exciting to see. And it's also a little nerve wracking because you want that the parent, voices and feelings be understood.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I think our intentions are good.
I do too.
And, you know, we hope for the best for the industry. No one's wishing anything but the best for the industry.
Well, we have more at stake than any business or any gym or any venue. I mean, it's our child's lives. For many, this is what our kids love. They eat, sleep, dream, travel. Literally,
it's all consuming.
We want to rock the boat. Yeah. We want it better.
Yeah.
We're just asking for more information, more transparency. You know, let us help you.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and you know, I don't know if I'm blurring my interviews, but we were having a conversation about, you know, a seat at a table. We just want a seat at the table.
Yeah.
And they will say, to be, you know, USASF, I was a member of the Parent Action Committee, and, you know, it was a great group of, and they still have that. But what happens a lot, you know, I'm just going to be totally candid out there. You know, they will say we have this and we do have the parent voice in there, but they might have it, but they're controlling it. It's through their megaphone, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's, needs to be more independent because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There were times when I would write a story, I'd worry about retribution for my own gym or my daughter or her team. You know, that's not far-fetched.
No, I totally understand. I mean, I have a great relationship with the gym owner in my town, But I said last year that that was the most nerve-wracking of all the interviews. It was because that person had the control over my child. And again, wonderful person. And you and Marcus. But there's that. And that is unique for me, at least, in the cheer industry versus any other sport I've been into. I felt with any other sport, it was an... I mean, I feel like maybe parents had too much power in other sports that made it worse. But... this one is, there's a power dynamic that's not, and because it's not universal, it's not a universal sport, it's not like you can just pack up your bags and go to the gym next door.
Right. And it, there, you're right. It's, there's not a balance because there's also not a, you know, I know people on both sides and I know they mean well on both sides, but we can do better. I think we all can do better. And it's just a matter of,
a conversation.
You know,
it's it's really just
starts with a conversation.
It all starts with a conversation. And, you know, when I speak to moms who have started businesses within cheer to pay for their cheer, which has been, you know, and they're all wonderful and they've been so supportive of Cheer Bomb. I always go back to the intention. Everyone's intention is for the best for this industry.
Absolutely.
None of us are looking to, you know, harm it, cause it, you know, stir things up, be dramatic.
But I agree.
But, you know, to put it out there on our part, you know, first season, we had people tell us, don't mention people, certain people by name. Don't mention a certain company by name. They will crush you. They won't let you. They won't let, you know.
That was one of the first things I was told. They'll either buy you up or shut you down.
Yeah. And so we didn't say Varsity's name for the whole first season. we didn't. The first 16 episodes, we said the company that shall not be named. Because we didn't want to offend them. We didn't. I didn't want my daughter to get kicked out. I didn't want to.
I know. We're laughing, but.
But it's kind of real.
So true. We're laughing because it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wish there was some way that, you know, everybody could be heard and feel like they're heard and not just patronize and say, you know, okay. And, you know, a response that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, that the Cheer Alliance letter was amazing and it started a conversation, but now I'm hearing, oh, gee, now everything's going to go back to the same. You know, now that when the season kicks in, everybody gets, you know, busy into their own.
But that's why you're here and we are here. And, you know, we have other guests who we've spoken to, who we've interviewed for this season. And I think, honestly, there's a lot of amazing women. I'm going to say women because I actually haven't interviewed a man in this position yet. Women who, again, want the best for this industry, want the best for their kids.
Absolutely.
And aren't haters. We just, we're just literally intelligent people who are asking just common sense questions.
And being, you know, and saying, you know, this can be better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a type of person who can, you know, I don't point out, I try not to be negative. If I point something out, I try to come up with a solution. And sometimes the solution is sharing both sides, you know, the perspective that isn't out there. And I really try to do that.
Yeah.
And you do too. I think that's, and it's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
And
it is.
Yeah. And I understand that it's a mammoth of an industry. So a shift isn't going to be easy or painless or seamless.
Right.
But since it's evolving anyway, let's make our voices be heard.
Absolutely. So. And what's going to happen is it's going to be, I mean, right now we're talking about the industry and the cheer world. It's very insular. It's controlled by, you know, a few good people or it's controlled.
Yeah.
But as it becomes an Olympic sport, as it goes out into the mainstream, I mean, as it becomes something that even if your kid or even if you aren't on a team, you want to watch it. I mean,
that's the zenith.
That's when the real respect comes. But we have to like have our act on the inside together or this is going to crumble.
Yeah.
The emperor's wearing emperor's wearing new clothes.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah. Seriously. Like 20 years from now, when this is a sport where these cheerleaders, like, you know, we've talked, Marcus and I have always talked about doing we would love to have an app where it would be like a fantasy cheerleading app, like the equivalent of fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've talked offline with a bunch of cheerleaders and we all get really excited by the idea of it. And then when you kind of go looking at how to do it, you realize, oh, you can't, you don't have access to the data. And, you know, if you don't have access to the data, you can't do it.
Well, that's something we can work on.
But what I'm saying is that 20 years from now, I want it, regardless if I'm in it or not, I want the sport to be something that I want to watch. I just want to watch and see how the teams are doing
It's spectacular.
Yeah, grow.
Nothing else like it. It's sport at its best, but also entertainment and art and
the whole thing.
You know, culturally significant. There's so much it contributes to, and I'm really excited about that. And as that grows and gets out there more, I remember when, you know, my daughter was a member of the second gym that opened in Massachusetts. And I mean, what do you mean you're a cheerleader? What team do you cheer for? Where are your pom poms? Mm-hmm. At least now we've grown, you know, it's been 18 years. There's that people at least know what All-Stars and competitive cheer is.
Yeah.
It's funny. At least that's there. So, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting there. I feel like we're one documentary away from hitting.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot that can
help. Yeah, after the concerns of the parental, you know, woes financially, you know, my next concern is for these cheerleaders who've dedicated their life to the sport and how, you know, I don't want to NCAA, like the way college football players kind of are used.
Yeah,
and their fame. Right. I'm kind of looking into the future, like, how are we going to protect these cheerleaders with their 100,000 Instagram followers from not being able to make the money that, you know, I'm keeping an eye out.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
They need that outlet. I think they are in a certain situation where they can. Their voice is definitely going to be heard as well. But I think you're right. It's important that they also share in, I mean, because let's say, you know, they're the ones that did every crunch and, you know, every practice. And
yeah, exactly. Well, Miss Lisa.
Yes.
I knew this was going to be a fascinating conversation.
I know. You guys are both so wonderful, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of Cheer Bomb and to, you know, join in the conversation.
And I feel like we probably will have you on again.
I would be my pleasure. That would be wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for
coming.
Thank
you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Marisol.
That was fun.
Yes.
That was funny. I really appreciate entrepreneurial women who are smart.
Yes.
And
who've been she's been in the industry for like a minute.
Yes.
Like with her daughter.
Can I just take a minute and say how inauthentic I feel hosting? Not only are we hosting a cheerleading podcast when I'm, and I've said this from day one, though. I have literally said, I'm not sure I need to be the host for this podcast as the cheer mom, because I'm not that cheer mom. I'm not the one that, you know, is up to date on everything. And like, there's a mom at our gym who, she's like, she'll post, you know, people's like other teams' schedules and, you know, what's going on in the industry. And it's sort of like, I'm not that. I kind of read it from other people and go, oh, that's interesting. but moms like her, Sharita, other people that we've had on the podcast who have, chosen a path in this industry, they make me feel like, like, I'm out of my league. I shouldn't be doing this.
No, I love it. I think that's the fun part, though.
I think that's what some people relate to. But I do think that there might be an opportunity here for, if anyone's interested in podcasting. Marcus is like, no.
Never.
All right. Well, we have a new website up. So please check that out.
She is all dolled out for you.
Yes. The Dear Marcus and Marisol is on the first page. You just scroll down after the podcast and you'll see where you could submit your questions for us. We also have a featured video of the week that we put up there. I have some questions about that because I'm not really sure if we're allowed to post videos of teams. Like, I don't know what the rule is. I know people have gotten in trouble for copyright infringement on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I know Flo Cheer is very particular. I think I said it right.
Yeah.
I know that, like, someone posted, did a video on YouTube and they got dinged and like their account got shut down last year. Do you remember that?
What?
Yeah, she's like a fan, like the uber fan of cheerleading, and she does, you know, reaction videos.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she got in trouble.
Really?
And they shut her down. She had to start from scratch.
No.
So I don't really know what the rules are.
And I don't want to test that.
And I don't want to get in trouble.
I mean, if you like give them credit. So I will say, I know, I forget who posted the video, but I'm pretty sure it was on YouTube, and they like dubbed over the like that team's like actual competition music with like, I don't know, something that was not it. So you really only got the you really only saw the performance. But like music is a good 40-something%.
But I'm wondering, like, does a gym give us permission to post something? I'm just wondering how it works. Or is it the competition?
I think it's like it's with the music producer and the competition.
Well, we'd like to post. So if anyone knows the answer to that, or if you have a video that you would let us post, I know I can do international because I currently have the Philippine Coco.
Yes.
One 6 minute, like, it might be up there all season. So it's an amazing routine. And we also have the Amazon store.
Yes, which we're really super excited about.
Yes. So we don't have a product. This is our product, the podcast, and it's free. You all are listening to it for free. And
you're welcome.
We love doing it. I love doing podcasts. Marcus.
I do.
Like. I think you're enjoying this experience. We have a great team behind us, Sean, the producer, and I don't, like you and I kind of talked, we don't want to come up with another product to try to sell when we've had this influx of people telling us that the sport's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like, well, I don't want to add more. So what we did is, we did affiliate marketing with Amazon, and we just found a couple products, some cheer stuff that's on Amazon. And I put some books up that I've referred to in the podcast, you know, a Maya Angelou book,
yes.
Oprah book, Brene Brown, the Judgment Detox book I've talked about mm-hmm. before. They're on there. So, if you support the podcast, if you enjoy it, if you've gotten anything out of this experience and you happen to be doing some shopping, jump over to our link. And if you see anything, it helps with the production costs for the podcast, but I don't want you to feel pressure. And the last thing I have is, thank you. Just thank you for listening and taking us with you.
Thank you to Sean, the producer guy, for yet another amazing episode, as I'm sure this one will be.
Yep.
Will with Cheer Music Central. I think those two are always going to be my number one thank yous for helping us
And I think next week is Inside Cheer. We're going to be in the magazine.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to be in Inside Cheer.
I started shaking when I got that email. I was like, Cody.
Well, it makes sense for you. This is where this whole inauthentic piece is coming up with for me. Like, I see this for you. This is you. Go, let's do it. But again, you put a gun to my head and say, name this tumbling pass. I'll be dead.
I'll wear something good.
So that's where I'm kind of feeling like, I love podcasting. This is my equipment. Yes. But yeah, I'm feeling less, I'm feeling a little insecure about my role in, like, when Inside Cheer is like, we want to do a spotlight on you.
No, never feel insecure about it. This is your baby. This is.
Well, I did see a need. I think podcasting and cheerleading go hand in hand.
Yes.
I think you're traveling a lot, so put in your earbuds and listen to us. So I think that's good. But yeah, that's where I'm struggling right now with, like.
Did you finish your interview questions?
No, not all of them. Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
I stayed up until like 4:30 this morning doing it I was that stressed about it.
I think that's where I was feeling all inauthentic. I'm like, I'm talking about yoga. Like, peace, love, and happiness, you know, like what? And then we have to get pictures done. We need headshots.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, that's coming.
When
we know what issue, you guys will be the first, maybe second.
You'll be second. Passing them out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know that. I'm in the magazine.
You're in the cheerleading magazine, which totally makes sense. All right. Thank you guys.
Thanks.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. And if you want to ask Marcus and Marisol a question or get some advice, go to the Cheer Bomb website at cheerbomb.com, then click on M&M question. Who knows? Maybe it will be on the next episode. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.
Wherever you go, however you go, for energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hurry into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.